Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we're doing a study in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, and today we'll be focusing on verse 15 and 16, which focuses on our adoption in Christ Jesus. These verses read, "For you did not receive the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And so here it has a focus, obviously, on bondage and fear versus freedom to cry out to God, and that the Spirit himself is confirming that we are the Lord's children. And fear in the first century Roman culture was definitely part of the society. First of all, in relation to the gods that they served, they had to bring them special sacrifices in order to appease them. They never knew when the gods were going to be upset at them and may bring some sort of calamity upon their society or upon their city or upon their family or upon themselves as an individual. So they were always having to appease the god. They always lived in fear of these gods. But for the Christian, we don't live in that sort of fear. The fear we have is an awesome respect and reverence for God, but not in a cowering that God is going to destroy us at any moment, that his mood might change, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, that we have not received the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. The unbeliever, though, lives in constant fear. He lives in fear of death, as Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15 points out that the believer has been released from the fear of death. This verse reads this way, "And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Even the unbelievers today live in fear. They live in fear of death, as Hebrews 2:14 reads, "Inasmuch then as children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So the unbeliever is still in fear. They fear death because they do not know what is going to happen or where they'll be after death. Also, they live in fear because they have a guilty conscience. Romans 2 verse 15 says, "Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them." So the unbeliever today, as in the time of Paul, also lives in fear of death as well as a guilty conscience. The child of God has been delivered or set free from this bondage and this fear. We do not have to fear death because the Lord has taken care of it. We do not have to fear our conscience because the Lord paid for all of our sin. And now as we approach God, we don't approach him in fear, but we cry out, Abba, Father, which is a term of close endearment. The word Abba is an Aramaic term which comes close to our term daddy or dad. It's a term that a child would use in calling out to their father. And so now, instead of being in bondage or fear, we have assurance of acceptance, assurance of approach, because the Spirit of God's been placed in us, and he causes us to cry out with a confidence, Abba, Father. This same truth is clearly found in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, which reads, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Now listen to this. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So here we have a boldness to come to the throne of God, and the word boldness means the assurance of acceptance. We are assured that we're going to be received by the Lord, and we don't come cowering in fear, not knowing if we're going to be accepted, because Jesus Christ has paved the way. He has made it possible for us to come into the presence of God without fear. The other blessing that's found in this portion of Scripture is not only that the Holy Spirit is in us and gives us the ability, supplies us with the ability to call out with intimate terms to God the Father, but it also says in verse 16 that he bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so the Holy Spirit communicates to our spirit that we belong to the Lord. The Greek term is sumartereo, which literally means to continue to give testimony. So the Holy Spirit is continually communicating to us that we truly are children of God. The Holy Spirit comes along our spirit and communicates this truth to us. As in 1 John 5:10 says that he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. So the Holy Spirit comes along and confirms our faith that we truly belong to the Lord. this is important to know in the sense that I can't give someone else assurance that they truly belong to the Lord. God himself has to communicate that to them through the Holy Spirit. God not only adopts them, but then he also confirms that they are adopted by him. And he does this by the Holy Spirit continually giving testimony that they are his children. Now, it's not enough for a person to feel in himself or think that he's saved. The Holy Spirit must then come along and communicate this fact to the believer. And it's my conviction that the Holy Spirit primarily does this through the Word of God, by using the Scripture as we read through it and communicates His truth to us that we belong to Him, and then secondarily to our own minds or to our own spirit directly by the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit of God will do this work for every child of God. And it's so gracious that God not only adopts us into His family, but then He communicates this fact to us that we belong to Him. Now, this is going to be challenged. They'll be challenged by the devil as well as by our own hearts at times. And there's not always the assurance that we belong to the Lord. It's there given to us, but there's times that we doubt that. And this probably comes from two primary sources. First of all, it could come from our own heart. There's times that we ourselves will doubt that we truly belong to the Lord. But I love what 1 John 3 verse 20 says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things." So even though our heart may condemn us and say, oh, you're really not a child of God, God knows the truth and he's greater than our hearts. The other source of this attack will come from the devil himself or his demonic forces. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it reads this way, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuse them before our God day and night, has been cast down." And that's speaking of the devil. He's referred to as the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God, but then also he comes to us and accuses us of not truly being followers of Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit at that point, thank God, comes in and reconfirms that we belong to the Lord. So even though spiritually the enemy may try to bring doubt and confusion and unbelief that we don't truly belong to the Lord, the Spirit of God then rushes in and confirms our adoption. He's continually giving testimony to this fact that we belong to the Lord. And then also, even when our own hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and the Spirit of God comes in and overcomes those things as well. And it's interesting that in a Roman adoption, there were actually seven witnesses to any adoption. And that was primarily due to the fact that if someone was going to receive an inheritance and maybe some of the other siblings didn't want the adopted child to receive part of that inheritance, they could come along and try and say, oh, he never belonged to our family, he's lying. And that's why there were seven witnesses to the adoption. And that's what Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 16, is the adoption. And so if there were seven people, chances are not all seven of them would die, or that not all seven of them could be bribed. So it would be at least one or two, or hopefully seven, that would be able to confirm the fact, no, this person truly was adopted, and they are a rightful heir to the inheritance. So most likely, in Paul's mind, when he's thinking of the term adoption, they had these seven human representatives that could confirm the adoption, and that that person was a rightful heir to the inheritance. Now, we don't have seven individuals. We have God himself, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, confirming that we truly are adopted and that we are sons of God. And he does this by, first of all, putting in our heart that ability and the desire to cry out to God in intimate terms, Abba, Father, and then comes along and bears witness or confirms that we're truly children of God. And then verse 17 goes on to say, "And of children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." And that means everything that Christ has received, we also will receive in eternity. Not in relationship to the deity, but in relationship to the fact that Christ is the heir of all things. We get a share in all that's been given to the Lord. And when we doubt that, the Holy Spirit comes along and confirms that we belong to him and we truly are going to receive this inheritance that's been promised to us. Eternal life in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. So when the doubts rise up, the Spirit of God is there to confirm the fact that we belong to him, and not only that we belong to him, but that we are joint heirs and we receive all these blessings that are promised to us in heaven. Praise the Lord. What an awesome God that we serve.